Rock. So the outline of my talk is following. I will begin with a very short introduction to the current state, and then I will describe briefly the composition of matter that we believe that can appear in the supernova. And after that, I will describe our models to construct the equilibrium state. So how realistic are our new equilibrium state? There are various kind of constraints from experiment and observation and also the microscopic calculations. I will briefly mention one of them. And finally, if time permits, I will also outline the plan to generate consistent neutrino capacity tables with underlying equilibrium state. Then I will conclude. So this diagram by Latimer and Prakash nicely summarizes what could happen at different stages of supernova evolutions. I believe most of you are familiar with it. And what I want to emphasize here is energy budget. So we know the gravitational energy released during this process is about 3 × 10^53 ergs, and in the form of 10^58 neutrinos, and the average neutrino energy is about 15 MeV for the electron type of neutrinos. And this picture is consistent with the 20 or so events detected during the supernova 1987A explosion. In the contrast, the explosion of mantle carries only about 1% of the total energy. So how the neutrino interact with the matter and transfer its energy to the mantle and leading to the explosion of the mantle is very crucial. For this purpose, we need to know the equilibrium state and the interaction between the neutrino and the matter. So as Professor Sheng has mentioned earlier in this talk, in the supernova equilibrium state, there are widespread scales in this equilibrium state. For example, the temperatures can be varied from 0 to 80 MeV, and it could be even higher in the binary neutron star merger case. The proton fraction is varied between 0 to 0.6, and it can be even higher in the neutrino-driven wind. And the baryon density is between very low, 10 to minus 13 inverse qubit Fermi to 1 inverse qubit Fermi. Roughly speaking, the particle spacing is varied between 10 to 5 Fermi to 1 Fermi, and the corresponding phases could be gas in the low density, solid at intermediate density if temperature is not too high, and eventually at high density becomes a uniform liquid. So we can see from this table that it is a challenging problem to generate a complete equilibrium state tables because it is a multi-scale, multi-component, and a multi-phase problem. So to cover the full parameter space, one has to usually use a combination of different methods. And I also want to note that there are large uncertainties in the high-density equilibrium state. For example, there could be hyperons, excited baryons, or even quarks. But now we have this observation of two solar mass neutron stars, so this will put a very severe constraint on these possible exotics at high density. There are also uncertainties in the high-temperature equilibrium state. There could be meson excitations, or et cetera. Finally, I want to mention that the equilibrium state tables are usually in the table format so that it will be easier for the... So the equilibrium state is often in the table format, so it's important to preserve the thermodynamic consistency. So as we heard early this morning, there are two standard equilibrium states widely used in the astrophysical simulations, the Lademann-Swirsky equilibrium state used non-relativistic models, and the Shen-Tong, Toki, and Oyamatsu, and Sumiyosu equilibrium state used relativistic models. And recently, Hempel and Schaffner has generated a new set of equilibrium state based on nuclear statistical equilibrium at low density and uniform matter at high density. In our equilibrium state, we used three different methods to cover different parameter space. At a very low density, we use a virial expansion for the non-ideal gas of nucleon and nuclei. At intermediate density, we use the Hartree mean field to calculate the non-uniform phase. And at higher density, we have the uniform liquid phase. And this we have generated two equivalent states based on NL3 and FSU relativistic mean field equivalent state at high density. The low density part, virial equivalent state, is common. So let's look at the composition of matters in some detail. We know the composition of the matters depends strongly on the density, temperature, and the neutron-proton asymmetry. And this composition will affect the thermodynamic properties and the dynamic properties, such as the lepton reaction rate and neutrino interactions. And if we look at this picture from a chemical point of view, we can consider this matter is mixture of different nuclear species and nucleons in the chemical equilibrium. And the problem here we want to tackle is to include the properties of particles in the medium, and we need to consider the interactions between the particles. And finally, there's, if we want to include the mass table of nuclei, there are more dependencies in the mass tables and its partition functions. From a physical point of view, we need to consider the coalition of nucleons because it will lead to formation of bound state or resonance. And we also need to consider the long-range Coulomb force. It will lead to formation of lattice structure, for example, the so-called proton-neutron star crust. The problem here is to include correctly the three or many body correlations, and often we have to use different interactions. So in the standard, in the two standard hadronic equivalent state, the ingredients are neutrons, proton, alpha particle, and one representative heavy nucleus. This picture has been extended in recent EOS tables. For example, the light nuclei, mass 2 and mass 3, mass 4, and also the full distribution of nuclei has been included partially included in the recent equivalent state. And this could be important in the astrophysical simulations because it may affect the dynamics, for example, the lepton capture and the neutron interactions. And at high densities, again, there are various kind of exotics can appear. And this, again, is severely constrained by the two solar mass neutron star. At high temperature, there could be mesonic excitations. One possibility is to study this kind of excitation in the virial expansion, but I will not talk about this. And in this talk, I will focus on the nucleons and nuclei only. So at when the density is much below the saturation density, we can assume the matter is in the gas phase. So we can expand the pressure or grand partition function in terms of the fugacity Z, which is equal to E to mu T. Mu is the chemical potential, which is typically small. And to first order, these terms are the ideal gas. The second order terms, the second order virial coefficient can be determined from the elastic scattering phase shift, which is model independent result. And this part for the nucleon and alpha particle system has been studied by Chuck Horwitz and Akin Schwink. So the virial expansion for the nucleon and alpha particles is exact at low density limit. How about third virial? Usually it's very small when the density is very low, but it's also calculable in the lattice method. And in the current expansion, we don't have the mass 2 and the mass 3 clusters included. But in the next equivalent state, we plan to include these kind of clusters. When the density grows a little bit, but still in the gas phase, we need to include the heavy nuclei. So we have the virial expansion of nucleon and the nuclei. When the nuclei is dominant, it is very close to the nuclear statistical equilibrium models. So we have the nucleon and the nuclei in the chemical equilibrium. And so we have around 9,000 nuclei from the mass table, so-called finite range Joubert mass model. In this mass model, they are about 0.6 MeV deviation from in the mass from the known experimental data. We also need to include the excited state information for the heavy nuclei. We do so by calculating its partition functions from the Fermi gas level density approximation. We also need to include the cooling interaction between the heavy nuclei and the electron background. We include this correction in the Wigner set approximation, where the, each species of nuclei has a neutralizing electron back electron cloud. In the visual expansion, there's no dissolution of heavy nuclei at high density, but in our equation state, we will make the transition to the solid phase that we discussed below. The problem here is the model dependencies in the mass table and the level densities. We tried two different mass tables and two different recipes for the level densities and found the influence on the thermodynamics is very small. So the two standard equilibrium state use the single nucleus approximation. And in our real expansion, we often find that the mass distribution of heavy nuclei is a multi-peaked Gaussian distribution. In this nuclear chart, we can see the mass distribution of heavy nucleus, and the color scheme indicates the mass distribution in the log scale. So this kind of distribution for the heavy nuclei may greatly influence the electron capture rate or neutrino reheating process. If I have time, I will briefly mention how to calculate the neutrino opacity. So at higher density, the dense matter may form crystal structure due to the long-range Coulomb interactions. One example is the neutron star crust. So we describe the nuclear interactions in the relativistic mean field models. In this model, we have scalar vector and isovector mesons, and there are also a non-linear interaction between the scalar meson, which is important for the nuclear incompatibility. We also have this non-linear interaction between the vector mesons, which can be tuned to modify the stiffness of the equilibrium state at high density. And finally, this non-linear coupling between the vector meson and isovector vector meson is important for the density dependence of the symmetry energy. We treated the meson and the photon field in the classical mean field approximation, and we also introduced a density-dependent coupling G sigma between sigma meson, scalar meson and a nucleon to reproduce the low density neutron matter in the macroscopic calculations. For the lattice structure, we use the spherical approximation and solve the mean field inside of the cell exactly at finite temperature. And finally, at higher densities, the uniform matter forms. So in our equilibrium state, we can naturally include the nuclear shell structure effect. For example, in this plot, we show the average A Z versus density. You can see our NL3 and FSU US has a series of steps in the average A and Z, which correspond to Mach number in the nuclear structure. We can also look at the density profile of the nuclei in the crust of proton neutron star. In this case, temperature is 1 MeV, proton fraction is 0.1. At a very low density, we can see there's a visible neutron skin. At even higher density, the neutron vapor can appear. And at even higher density, we can see some kind of bubble-like nuclei can appear. And finally, the matter makes transition to the uniform. So finally, we can match the equilibrium state at high density from the mean field calculation and the equilibrium state at a low density from the real expansion in the thermodynamically consistent way and get a final table, which is shown in this one. We can see we have a temperature from 0 to around 80 MeV, density from 10 to minus 8 to 0.2 inverse qubit Fermi, and proton fraction from 0 to 0.56. And these are very fine grade. We also perform adiabatic compression test and found the thermodynamic consistency is well preserved. We also made some comparison with standard equilibrium state in our paper, we found the thermodynamics is very similar, but the high density equilibrium state differs a lot in the stiffness. That's why we need several different equilibrium states. And we also find our composition is very different from the two standard one as I shown you earlier. We also calculated the adiabatic index. We don't find first order phase transitions in our equilibrium state. So there are various constraints one can put, one can impose in the equilibrium state. For example, we can have constraints from nuclear experiments. And there are most equilibrium states are fitted to the nuclear matter properties at a saturation, and most equilibrium states can reproduce the properties of stable nuclei very well. One exception is the neutron-rich matter. There are big uncertainties in the neutron radii in the doubly magic nuclei lead 208. There could also be constraints from heavy ion collision, but there is some uncertainties in interpretation of the result due to the complex reaction dynamics. There are also constraints from astronomy and microscopic calculations. For this talk, I will just mention the constraint from this lead radius experiment. So the charge radius in lead is well determined, but the neutron radius is has 5% deviation among different models. So this is so-called neutron skin is the difference between neutron radii and proton radii. This neutron skin thickness is sensitive to the equilibrium state. A stiffer equilibrium state around saturation density indicates a larger pressure and leads to a larger neutron radius and neutron skin in lead 208. In this figure, we can clearly see the correlation between the neutron skin thickness and the pressure of nuclear matter at a saturation density. The higher pressure, the larger the neutron skin thickness. And in our three equilibrium state, we calculated the neutron skin thickness for the lead 208. NL3 has a larger neutron skin, about 0.28 Fermi, and FSU is softer, and IUFSU gives the smallest neutron skin thickness. So the electron violating, perturbative violating electron scattering experiment in JLab, PREX has just released its first result. The neutron skin thickness is around 0.34 Fermi, but with really large error bar. The future run, if they can pin down the statistics, can differentiate between different equilibrium states. So I guess I don't have too much time to talk about the neutrino opacity, but I want to mention that in this temperature versus density plot, so XA is the mass fraction of heavy nuclei. Inside the control area, we have heavy nuclei mass fraction larger than 10 to minus 3. And we can see from this plot, if the temperature is larger than 10 MeV, most matter is uniform and nuclear matter. So to first order, if we want to consider the neutrino and the matter interaction, we should consider the neutrino and the nuclear interactions. To second order, we should include light clusters like mass 2 and mass 3 and alpha particles. And finally, we also want to include the interaction between neutrino and heavy nuclei. One problem is here, so neutrino reheating in the mantle is mostly between neutrino and heavy nuclei. So in this case, it's not third order, it's first order. So one has to consider that interaction. So I guess I will briefly mention this. So neutrino interaction with nucleon are mostly neutral current and charge current. One can write down the neutrino cross-section in this form. This pi is the hadronic correlation, which contains information about the nuclear medium. And if we know the neutrino cross-section, we can do the integration and get the neutrino mean free path very easily. This figure shows the neutrino mean free path from the interaction between neutrino and the nucleon in the free space. This is one example, T equals 10 MeV, and the neutrino fraction is very small. We can see the electron neutrino mean free path is at the order of one meter or below, and the other flavors of neutrino has typically a larger mean free path. This picture is not true if we consider the nuclear medium fraction to the neutrino interactions. For example, there could be this is the scattering in the free space, and this diagram shows the interaction between neutrino and in medium nucleons, and the neutrino can excite the nucleon above the Fermi C, and this excitation can be propagated away by the nuclear interactions. One can write down this kind of diagram in terms of this Dyson equation, study the so-called RP response. If one can solve this RP response, one can get the median corrected neutrino response. So as I mentioned, to first order, we can assume the matter is uniform, and the effective interaction between the nucleons can be derived consistently with underlying equilibrium state. And then we can solve the Dyson equation to study the median corrected neutrino response. So typically, a small response means a larger neutrino ring, mean free path. And if the nuclear interaction is repulsive, it will suppress the response and leading to a larger neutrino mean free path. This figure shows you the neutrino mean free path, the ratio neutrino mean free path with or without the median correction. So as we can see, at high densities, the neutrino mean free path is enhanced due to the inclusion of the median correction. So and so right now in our code, we can generate consistent one-party, one-hole excitations for the neutrino nucleon interactions. And in future, we also want to consider the effect of multiple particle-hole excitations for the neutrino-nucleon interactions. So in conclusion, we have generated two new equilibrium states ready for use in the supernova and the neutron star mergers simulations, which is NEL3 and FSU-GOLD-AOS. And this table can be found in this website. In future, we want to present a final equilibrium state that is softer than NEL3 but stiffer than FSU-GOLD. The goal is to cover the possible parameter space with various equilibrium state tables so one can have handle in these equilibrium state tables in the simulations. And finally, we want to generate a consistent neutrino opacity table for the underlying equilibrium state. And finally, I want to thank all my collaborators and thank you for your attention.
Okay, questions? So, Gang, for the neutrino mean free paths, how big is the difference compared to what Sanjay, Jim, and people did, also doing RPA calculations?
Yeah, so the figure I showed you is very similar to their result. So their result is also including the one-party, one-hole excitations. So our point is to kind of redo their calculation and propose a recipe that is consistent for any underlying equilibrium state.
So what kind of nuclear interaction did you use in estimating the neutrino nuclear scattering? RPA plus RMF or?
For the figure I showed you?
Yes.
It's for this figure?
Yes.
Yeah, for this figure, I just use a different mean field interaction, GM3, which is different from the NEL3 or FSU-GOLD, but in principle, we can calculate that as well.
By the relativistic mean field theory, do you use?
Yes, this is relativist mean field theory models.
Okay, thank you.
This is just to show you one idea. I don't.
Just to make clear that I understood, you mean neutrino nucleus or nucleon inelastic scattering opacity? Elastic.
Excuse me?
It was not clear to me, what do you mean by neutrino opacity? Which process are you looking?
we include the elastic and inelastic interaction between neutrino and the nucleons.
Inelastic.
Inelastic as well.
So then how does it?
So in the both in the neutral current and the charged current channel, we have the inelastic interactions, I think. There could be some energy transfer in the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, that was why I asked you. So then how does it compare your opacity? This is similar to the question of Agen. For example, I think most of the supernova simulations use this Hannestad-Raphael inelastic scattering scheme. There is a paper of Hannestad-Raphael where they give the scattering kernels for supernova simulations. Have you compared with that one?
No, we haven't compared that one, but it will be interesting.
But Gabriel, I think the Hannestad and Raphael stuff is for the two, this is what Gang had under the multi-pair contributions where you need strong interactions. This is just one particle, one hole,
yeah.
RPA stuff. So all inelastic comes from recoil.
It's just purely recoil.
Purely recoil, yes. So I think the figures here for the mean free pass are just from the mainly elastic contributions.
Well, then I don't understand the RPA, because the RPA should describe excitations of the nuclear medium, not recoil. That is a pure kinematics.
Any further discussion? Okay, then I guess we'll move on to the...